Hey, welcome to Truth Unbound. I'm Walter Swaim. I'm so glad you joined me here in the conversation. And well, there's a new kind of anxiety that is out on top of all the other anxieties that exist. There's a new one, and it's called climate anxiety. Now, in this article, as you see here from ABC 7 in San Francisco, it says 70% of Americans experiencing climate change anxiety and depression, study finds. Says a new survey from Yale shows that 70% of Americans are now very or somewhat worried about the global warming as more and more of them show signs of anxiety or depression as a result of that worry. Now, Noah Odeberg is a psychologist working in Oakland, and he says you may have heard of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. A psychiatrist came up with pre-PTSD because it's not a trauma that's already occurred. It's a fear of a future trauma, so it's this new idea, and it involves anxiety and depression. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm anxious to find out what it means. Okay, pun kind of intended, but anyway, seriously, let's find out what this means, because it is a real problem, and it's growing, and we need to find out what God's truth says about it. Here we go. Hey, thanks again so much for joining me here at Truth Unbound. And listen, if you want to know more and include others to know more with us together about what God's truth says to today's issues in the church, in life, and in our culture, then would you like this video? Also, if you would subscribe and hit all notifications there, and you'll be up on the latest that comes out. And then also comment and share this with others. Follow the podcast as well if you're listening in audio only. And just share it with everyone you can. Let's get right to the subject of today. All right, so we're jumping in here right away. What is climate anxiety? It's also been called eco anxiety, climate sadness, or environmental anxiety. It's feeling fear, worry, or even panic over global warming or climate change. Now, those terms are used interchangeably, and more so today, the word climate change. That's because climate change, the words climate change, is the newer phrase used in recent years to explain global warming. Because a few years ago, the term global warming began to lose its shine and appeal to the public. So educators and the media made this shift to climate change because, well, who would deny that the climate changes? Who knew? But their idea of climate change is caused by man, not by natural forces of nature. Anyway, that being explained, let's move on. You see, it's happening among many of our Gen Z generation. In one poll earlier this year, among those 14 to 24 years old in America, 83% are concerned and worried about it, with three of every four saying it has affected their mental health. 69% says it affects their physical health. And as we saw in our last podcast, many are even going to the extreme of getting sterilized so as to not have kids to raise during this impending doom of the climate attack on humans. Also, academics in the United Kingdom surveyed 10,000 people ages 16 to 25 in 10 countries, and due to their governments not doing anything about it to these young people, they feel there is a betrayal as well, adding on to climate anxiety. And to top it off, the climate is not only making them worry, it is really ticking some people off because the climate is, well, it's racist. Yes, you heard that right. The weather is intentionally racist. Here you can see it. For instance, from a quote from this article, a young black climate activist says the U.S. was founded on these unsustainable foundations of systems of oppression like white supremacy, colonialism, capitalism. Climate change intersects with all movements inside the social justice movement. Well, anyway, in a very recent AP article, it says people of color, the poor, women, children, and the elderly suffer the worst climate change impacts, said the Reverend Fletcher Harper, an Episcopal priest, and he's also executive director of Green Faith, a global multi-faith environmental organization based in New York. Okay, so now climate change is a social justice issue? How do you get the icebergs, Puffy the Cloud, and the mean and evil ocean to change their ways of intentional systemic racism? I'm so confused. Anyway, what is actually truly alarming, and why this is the subject for today's podcast as well, like so many other supposedly alarming cultural issues in the world, the evangelical church is joining in joyfully and bringing it into the church as a theology and as part of the new gospel, and this new religion that's forming. Progressive Christianity especially embraces this. Now, from that same AP article, it says, at the invitation of indigenous communities, more than 150 faith leaders gathered in Washington last month to pressure President Joe Biden to stop new fossil fuel projects. And with this, Reverend Kyle Myard Schaap, vice president of the Evangelical Environmental Network, says this, and I quote, "We don't do this because we're Democrats or Republicans. We don't even do this, some of us, because we're environmentalists." He says, "We're doing this because we're Christians, and we think that this is just part of what it means to follow Jesus in the 21st century." Okay, so putting all this together, we can see from a biblical perspective that there are three major problems here, especially for the believer, and let's let God's truth speak into it. The first thing is a false anxiety. Secondly, false science. And thirdly, a false gospel. Okay, so what do we mean by false anxiety? We're not saying the anxiety expressed here by these young people is false. In fact, it's very real to them, obviously. When healthy childbearing age young women are having themselves sterilized so as to not bring up children into the world because they'll be destroyed by the climate apocalypse that AOC says is coming in 12 years or less than that now, then it is truly a real problem. Even young men are having themselves sterilized for the same reason. What is false is what creates the false and unnecessary anxiety in our youth. This all started in the 70s and 80s, and it's rooted in the socialism of the 60s and earlier. And it has been taught methodically to our young people in our educational system. It has reproduced itself over and over again. And millennial parents and their Gen Z children believe in it, and they have been indoctrinated, not educated. And now the fruit of their efforts has finally come home to roost. It's everywhere. The method is to foment fears and anxiousness based on false presumptions and then turn it into a mass resistance. The problem is life carries enough anxieties and pressures and worries in and of itself due to the evil in this world. And to add to it with a truly non-existent problem it's abusive. The true follower of Jesus recognizes God is in control of everything. You see, our hope as believers lies in the presence of Jesus in our lives and his coming kingdom on earth one day. When you as a believer hear these panicked world and church leaders, scientists and otherwise, preaching global warming to cause this same cycle of fear and anxiety based on theories stated as a given fact without counter-examination and analyzing and analysis, then remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, Jesus even said himself in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, hope in God and not man-made fears and empty man-made promises and solutions is what we must truly trust in. It is what we already have in Christ. Now, what about the false science I mentioned? You see, the real fact is that global warming, man-made climate change, or whatever you want to call it, is not a given fact of science. Too many scientists still doubt this and have other interpretations of the data that counter this global warming fanaticism. You see, science doesn't say anything. Scientists do. And scientists are susceptible to their own biases and assumptions, as is painfully obvious. In 2009, emails revealing fraud and manipulation of climate data by scientists worldwide shocked the world. I imagine many listeners to this podcast have never heard about that. And, well, that's intentional. That scandal destroyed the global warming scientific community's efforts to deceive the public. Well, at least for a few hours or a few days, and then it disappeared. And yet here it is, still being spoken of and promoted and believed in and laws enacted to codify it permanently. And even business leaders rush to it to turn a profit. There's a reason for all this, and it's called control, money, and power. I wrote about much of this post-truth agenda throughout our culture and all the areas such as education and science and more in my book, To Be Clear, Proclaiming the Gospel in a Post-Truth World, and I'll provide the links in the description of this video as to where you can get that. But just as is done commonly in education and the media with the theory of evolution presented as fact, global warming is as well presented as a fact. Now, these lettered, accomplished, and tenured scientists that are skeptical, from everything from just being skeptical to full-on critics of global warming, are mocked and derided and silenced. Instead of being allowed the fullest freedom of thought to express what they say and let people make their own choices based on the evidence. For the believer, it is interesting that Jesus especially never ever mentions this as a major problem to come. He and the rest of Scripture warn us of the main problem. And the main problem is sin, not the earth and not nature. Even natural disasters and catastrophic climate events are the result of man's sin. In Romans chapter 8, he says this, beginning in verse 19, "For the creation eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of God who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know," and listen to this, "for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers together until now. Not only this, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our bodies." For men to propose they are able to control sea levels such as this, remember this statement by previous President Obama?
I face this challenge with profound humility and knowledge of my own limitations. But I also face it with limitless faith in the capacity of the American people. Because if we are willing to work for it and fight for it and believe in it, then I am absolutely certain that generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal.
Or, for instance, remember Bill Gates' plan announced in January where he's going to block the sun with sprayed dust in the air? You see, all this is not just simple pridefulness, but it's arrogance. Only God has ultimate control of this universe and this world, and he must laugh when he hears mankind say these things. Yes, even the weather is under his control, of course, and we trust in him even when the storms literally come into our lives. The third major problem I mention is that this creates a false gospel. This year especially, we have seen the Christian church, in its broadest meaning of the term, and organizations take in worldly philosophies into the church at large and even turn them into a biblical theology, such as critical race theory and global warming being two of the latest false ideologies inserted into the church's teaching and mission. You see, this confusion is also changing that mission, which has been given to us. It's the only mandate God gave us the church to carry out. In Matthew 28:19, where he says, make disciples of all people. Make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's it. Make disciples of Jesus. Proclaim the good news of Jesus. And to repent and put your faith in him is the message. Jesus never once mentions climate change activism as our mission or even as part of the Christian life. Genesis 1:28 shows us God's mandate to humanity from the very beginning, which was to subdue the earth. And that is still our God-given responsibility as his managers or administrators of the earth. And we don't always do a good job of it, thanks to our sinfulness. You see, the word subdue means to bring it under control, to harness its resources, to use it, to care for the earth and for his glory, and to enjoy the benefits of it as he has given to us. We don't do this to send humanity back to the Stone Age either. We are to use it well and wisely while still advancing and progressing. It also is freedom to explore God through his vast planet and universe. And why? Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it clearly states, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you notice, most of the efforts actually mentioned by religious groups, especially Christian ones, including self-professed Christians, to combat climate change is actually just simply keeping the earth clean, which is the correct thing to do under the original mandate to protect and care for the earth. It has no real impact on attacking supposed global warming, but it is well worthy to keep our environment clean out of accountability to God for it and providing its beauty to point to God's power and love for future generations. Well, let me draw this to a close. You see, as believers, let's not be sucked in by the world's philosophies or promote them for the world. Let us promote God's cause. God has called us to preach peace and reconciliation through Jesus alone by faith alone. That's the only mandate he's given to us as the church. Well, I hope this has been of help to you. So please click like, subscribe, follow, comment, and share with others. And follow Jesus, and you'll always follow the truth.